Okay, this is Ken Freeland. I'll be facilitating the teleconference tonight, the 9/11 Truth teleconference, our bi-monthly teleconference. Annie Isley, the secretary, will call the roll of the people who have already reported in, and anyone whose name does not, you don't hear your name, please let Anna know you're here so that we can get everybody's name for the record. Go ahead, Anna.
Adam Snyed, Don Stock. I had the correct spelling and probably the pronunciation. If it's close, then I won't. I'll check spelling later. Okay, unless I ask. Okay, Barbara Honegger, Adam Ross, Dwayne Dietz.
Here.
Alice. Ann Muga is what I have. So I need some clarification. I'm sorry, my hearing's not so well. I'm not so good on this phone.
It's Nalise Muga.
Okay, now spell your first name, please.
N like Nancy, E-L-I-S-S-E.
Okay, very good, Nalise. Thank you.
Good to have you on the call, Nalise. Thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you. Steve Barney. Susan
Barney,
sorry.
F-A-H-R-N-E-Y.
Give it to me one more time, please.
Foxtrot Alpha Hotel. That's F-A-H-R-N-E-Y.
Steve Branny, how do you pronounce that?
Barney.
Barney, okay.
Yes.
Susan Serpa, Shelton Langford, Sheila Casey, Michael Cook, Paul Zaremba, Paul. Robin Horden, Craig McKee.
That's right.
George Ripley. Senator Gorell will be joining us later. Myself, Annie Isley, and Ken Freeland. No Jonathan Marks?
I expect him to be here, but I guess he's not here yet.
Okay.
Before we continue, Nalise, what was the issue that you were going to discuss tonight? What were you here to talk about?
Actually, Ted is here also.
We
were invited on to discuss Ted's invitation by Graham McQueen to the Toronto hearings.
That's on the Toronto hearings. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that it was under that. So I'm just going to put a subheading there to give you guys a chance to make a quick presentation also on that, okay?
Fine.
Okay. So, with that little amendment, and that we already had in the Toronto hearings on the we should start out with the approval of the previous minutes. The draft minutes were circulated. Does anybody have an amendment or a correction on the draft minutes that were circulated?
Yeah, this is Sheila Casey. Actually, I would like to have Anna Yaisley's personal comment deleted. I don't feel that she should be just as secretary inserting her own personal opinions.
Okay,
into the minutes.
Okay, be specific though. Which comment are we referring to here?
You know what? I'm really sorry to say I don't have that in front of me. I'm not at my own computer right now. I know I sent it to the listserv, and I'm sure Anna knows which one I'm talking about.
We all
okay,
do.
Let me see if I can find it here. There was. Truth tends to overpower and diminish troublemakers. Was that the part of it that you objected to being in the minutes?
Could you read that whole sentence there?
Yeah, I'll read the sentence. Infiltration continues to be the focus of discussion, and many agree that infiltrators are having an effect on the 9/11 Truth movement. But supporters outnumber infiltrators, and truth tends to overpower and diminish troublemakers.
Well, I think the part that's the opinion is the part that starts with but truth tends
okay.
to.
Yeah,
so
I
you would,
actually,
you,
Anna, yeah, actually, now that I've heard it again, I agree. It was unnecessary. I mean, I think I stated the discussion.
Okay, so without objection then, that part of that sentence will be removed from the final draft. Any other comments on the previous minutes? No other comments being heard, then we will approve them as amended. Okay, tonight's agenda was circulated. The draft agenda was circulated with the addition of the fact that Ted and Elise will be also included as a special item under the Toronto hearings. Other than that, it says has circulated. Anybody have an amendment or a correction to the agenda?
Robin on the stack.
Robin, go ahead.
I move that we adjust the event as a function of when Mike Gravel calls. We should just go on with everything but Gravel until he calls. Then change,
so
jump in.
The proposal is that whatever we're doing, whenever Senator Gravel shows up, that we table that item until we take up the item of the Citizens Commission, after which we will return to whatever item we were on when he showed up. Is that acceptable to everyone?
Well, actually, it's not to me. This is Sheila.
I think Sheila is right on that. Mike is not. I told Mike that we were going to be discussing for the first half hour, and he said he was interested in that, and he might to call in just to listen.
Okay. All right. So maybe does the person who made that proposal want to withdraw it then, or?
Yeah, I'll withdraw it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your consideration. Okay. Any other comments or on the draft before we go ahead with it on the agenda?
I wanted to add one thing to the agenda, if possible.
Who's speaking?
My name is Michael Cook.
Michael, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to make a request. It would be real brief. I'm just looking for some help with a project.
More
information. I want to file an amicus brief in a legal suit. There's a legal suit involving WTC-7. And
we'll put that in before we get to the general discussion at the end, okay?
That's fine. Thank you.
All right. We'll allow that 5 minutes if nobody objects for you to make that announcement and see if you can find somebody to assist you, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on the agenda? That was Michael Cook, right? Do I have that name right?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, then. The first item on our agenda tonight is... presentation on infiltration in 9/11 truth movement. Normally we would take the Citizens 9/11 Commission first, but Sheila has requested going first tonight because she's got other business to take care of this evening, so that's why we're going first with that for a change. Sheila will have 10 minutes max to speak on her subject. She has a presentation for us, and I guess she's going to be assisted by somebody. And then after that, we will have a 10-minute open discussion, which will be run as a committee of the whole. Okay. Sheila, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Cass Sunstein, who's a former Harvard professor and current member of the Obama administration, who's the SR of Regulatory Affairs, wrote in a paper, quote, government agents and their allies might enter chat rooms, online social networks, or even real space groups and attempt to undermine percolating conspiracy theories by raising doubts about their factual premises, logic, or implications for political action. I think we have to be, we've definitely been given notice that they intend to do this, and I'm saying that I believe they are doing this. And as truth leaders, I think it's incumbent upon us to be aware of what's going on in our movement and aware of how people who may be working at cross purposes to us could have worked their way into positions of leadership and could be undermining the movement. And I want to preface this by saying that I do not really bear any enmity or hostility toward anyone who has been manipulated into doing so. I know we cannot know what kind of pressures have been brought to bear upon people, and lives might have been threatened. So I just feel that, the perpetrators definitely have a lot to gain by keeping 9/11 truth either secret or keeping us from presenting our most incriminating evidence. So they are not going to stop at anything to suppress us. And just want to say I don't hold anything against anyone personally who's involved in this. I think they're probably all being manipulated in some way. My thesis is that what we're seeing happening at Architects and Engineers is that Richard Gage seems to be surrounded by a group of people who are, I believe, working at cross purposes to us in the truth movement. And I'm going to start with Richard's complete withdrawal of support for CIT, which he published in 9/11 on 9/11 Blogger on February 8th. And I'll just give you a few facts out of this. Because Richard is a leader in the truth movement, and I know that as an employee of Architects and Engineers, he answers to the board, and he, as I understand it, they could fire him if he did not comply with their wishes. So we have to understand that Richard may be doing things that are not necessarily his choice. He may have no choice about some of this.
It's a rubber stamp board, by the way.
Could I just say that could we hold questions to the end?
Yeah, I'll repeat again that Sheila is allowed to make her presentation without interruption, but there will be 10 minutes of open discussion at the end, so if you have comments or questions, try to hold on to them. Please. Go ahead, Sheila.
Okay. Richard said in his complete withdrawal of support, and I will say this is going to be extremely abbreviated, that he was surprised to learn that 12 of the witnesses that CIT interviewed were in a position to see the Pentagon, and that all 12 stated that they saw the plane hit the Pentagon. This is extremely deceptive for him to say this, because if you watch National Security Alert, it's made abundantly clear that the witnesses all believed that the plane hit. Richard also says that CIT has continued to publish my original statement and characterize it as an endorsement of their flyover conclusion. This is patently false. They have never characterized his statement as an endorsement of their flyover conclusion. So, here are two statements that a truth leader is making that are false, and I think we need to be concerned about that. We then look at the list of people who Richard is saying that we should be looking to give us the truth about the Pentagon. One of them is Jeff Hill, and I think this is really shocking, so I'd like all of you to hear a little bit of audio from Jeff Hill that Adam, I hope, has queued up for me. Let's start, Adam, with the one where what he says about David Ray Griffin.
Okay, here we
about
go.
About 15 seconds.
Okay.
There's a lot of these names that you think are good, they're not good. You want an example? I'll give you one. David Ray Griffin is a scumbag. He's a lying scumbag. He's no good.
Is that enough?
Yeah, why don't you play it again?
We heard it.
Did you all
What's
hear it?
What's the relevance, please? I don't understand the relevance of this.
Sheila, do her thing and then come back with it.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. And is someone keeping time? I was.
Yes, I'm keeping time. Yeah.
Okay, I think everybody heard it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's play the other one, the one where he talks about Richard Gage.
Here we go.
The Alex Jones, the Stephen Jones, the David Ray Griffins, the Architects and Engineers, the Richard Pages. I don't know. To me, they're all corrupt.
That last word was corrupt, in case anybody didn't hear it.
Okay, so I think we have to be concerned about this. We get a statement from Richard Gage that is recommending Jeff Hill as someone we should look to for the truth about the Pentagon, and this is the kind of stuff that Jeff Hill is saying. These are not old. One of these was from January. The other one was from last September. He did this in his podcasts. Okay, moving on. he mentions Victoria Ashley as another source that we should look to for the truth about the Pentagon. In numerous online dialogues with Victoria Ashley, I concluded that she is not honest and she is not trying to come to the truth, but I'll give you just one example. on July 18th, 09, she posted in a comment on 9/11 Blogger that Roosevelt Roberts clearly describes a C-130 over the south parking lot. She also says, I've listened to both of the audio accounts. So she's saying, I've listened to them, and he clearly describes a C-130. A C-130 is a, I believe, the color I believe is dark gray, but I know it's a military prop plane. So if you look at the actual transcript, what Roosevelt Roberts actually says is that what he saw was a silver commercial aircraft liner with jet engines. So this is just an example of someone who is clearly lying about what he said. And she said, I just listened to it. And then this is what he's, you know, so that's one example. The other example I'm giving you is Jim Hoffman, who has something called, something on the internet called Google Earth Exposes Pentagon Flyover Farce, in which he uses Google Earth images to try to give us the impression that the Pentagon and the airspace over the Pentagon can be clearly seen from all around the Pentagon. But Google Earth does not show any visual obstructions. These are aerial photographs. The only thing that has any height to it, any altitude at all, are important monuments, such as the Pentagon, the Washington Monument, the White House. So trees, overpasses, other buildings are all rendered as flat as a coat of paint on the ground. This is extremely deceptive to give for him to present this as an example of what you can see over the Pentagon. If he had used Google Street View, which are actual photographs taken from actual locations on the ground, you would then see that almost none of the locations that Jim Hoffman uses actually have a view of the Pentagon. What is very concerning is that Richard Gage is recommending these people. And this has been part of a pattern. I mean, obviously, this is very abbreviated here, but it's part of a much larger pattern, and I feel that we need to soberly address it and be aware of what's going on. And I understand it's very upsetting to people, but I don't think that that should be our reason for not looking into it. And I'd like to close, because I think I'm close to my end here, with a clip from a Fox News clip from last November, where they essentially said they believe that there's a good chance that the World Trade Center was brought down by controlled demolition. Adam, could you play that clip, please?
Yep.
On building number 7. And if explosives were involved, that would mean that the most obnoxious protesters in recent years are right.
Could the most obnoxious protesters in recent years be right if the explosives were there and the government didn't cause it, didn't know about it, but won't tell us about it?
Good is a very...
Could you play that once again, Adam?
Hold it. You've got 15 seconds.
No, I'd like to play it once again, please.
Okay. One more time. Here we go.
If explosives were involved, that would mean that the most obnoxious protesters in recent years are right.
Could the most obnoxious protesters in recent years be right if the explosives were there and the government didn't cause it, didn't know about it, but won't tell us about it?
Good is it.
Okay, the reason I
think
this is
important... Okay, you're over time, Sheila.
Can I have 30 seconds just to wrap up?
No, you can't. No, I can't do it without permission. We said 10 minutes max, so if nobody has any objection, I'll give Sheila 30 more minutes, 30 more seconds.
Yep.
If there's an objection, then we have to call. I think there's an objection, so we have to put it through a vote. Let's try this by voice. All in favor of a 30-second extension, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Okay, Sheila, you got 30 seconds.
Okay, the reason why I think this is so important is because many people will say our best evidence is the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center, but we're hearing it right here from Fox News that even if they admit controlled demolition of the World Trade Center, they don't believe it implicates anybody in particular. The explosives in the Pentagon definitely implicate somebody in particular, and a faked plane crash at the Pentagon definitely implicates somebody in particular. And I think that that's why we see the counterintelligence operation working so hard to try to stop the truth movement from using this as one of our major pillars of the movement. Thank you very much.
Okay. Robin Horton on the...
Okay, Robin, I'll put you on the chat. I'm going to put myself behind you. Barbara, behind me. Jeffrey.
Don Stahl wants to say something.
Don, who else?
Steve Farney.
Joe Balter just...
Whoa. That's Don. Who said something?
Steve Farney.
I'd like to be on the stack. Hold it. Is it Steve Barney? Is that correct?
Steve Barney.
Okay. And then after Steve, who else?
Anna Yeisley, if you don't have me already on.
I already have you, Anna. Who else?
Joe Balter.
Joe Balter. Okay, who else?
Adam Ruff would like to be on the stack.
Adam Ruff, okay, who else?
Adam Syed.
Ted Syed, who else?
Ted Yuga.
Ted Yuga, okay. Anybody else? Okay, so it looks like we've got 11 speakers, so that means we have to limit ourselves to under a minute each, okay? So try to make your comment or very quick. Robin, you're first.
Yes. Sheila, you're about 11 years late regarding the idea that the 9/11 truth movement would be infiltrated. If during the plans of 9/11, if we are correct in assuming who planned it, they not only planned to control the media, but also to infiltrate everything. So therefore, in my view, all groups from the beginning have been infiltrated, and that this is a complete waste of time chasing all of them. The best way to deal with this is to operate under the concept of friendly fences and let people do their own research and let that research stand on its own. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, thank you, Robin. I guess I'm next on the stack. This is Ken Freeland. I'd like to just say two things. First of all, I think Richard was somewhat misrepresented. He's not saying that we should look to these people for the truth in everything they say. He's saying that certain videos that they produced ought to be considered along with the CIT presentation, and then people should make up their own minds. He was clearly equivocating. He's not actually saying they're right and the CIT is wrong per se, although he does challenge the scientific nature of the methodology of CIT, which is a different question. The second thing is, I don't think there's too much controversy about the fact that we're infiltrated. I think the controversy is about whether we should be attending to the fact that we're infiltrated or moving on to more positive activist activities. And that's all I want to say. And the next one is Barbara.
There's so many things I want to say. I only have a minute. The first thing that I do want to say, though, is that you don't have to agree with researchers, including Sitz's interpretations of their interviews in order to honor the fact that they've done great work interviewing people. I know Richard Gage pretty well, and I believe that his problem is simply that Sitz's interpretation is a flyover, and yet, 12 of the 13 witnesses either say they saw or believe that the plane that they saw coming in the north of Sitco passed hit. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a flyover and have the witnesses you depend upon for your flyover interpretation say that the thing hit or they believe it hit. And Richard is simply expressing this logical conundrum. So I really think, though I totally agree with Sheila, that there's no question in my mind that there are individuals inside architects and engineers who are not on our side. But the fact that Richard withdrew his support or his endorsement or whatever it was for that particular reason, I do not necessarily think is because of their influence, though it might be.
Okay, thanks. That's over a minute. Go ahead. Who's next is Jeffrey? Anna is next.
Thank you. I want to suggest, too, that we focus on the strategy of the infiltrators and not so much name-calling, pointing fingers, and all that. I think if we recognize a strategy, then we can circumvent the strategy. Now, the strategy is to raise doubts about factual premises, casual logic, that's common sense, or implications for political action. The strategy is to raise doubt about pillars of our movement. So if we were to focus on that, and then so that was one thing I wanted to say. The other thing is, the fact that CID, when Sheila, when you gave that presentation in D.C., and I don't know if you remember this question, really one of the only questions I really posed to you at the end of the presentation was, what is your conclusion? What is CIT's conclusion? And you said, we don't have a conclusion, that there is no conclusion. So I was going to, actually I'm really piggybacking on what Barbara said. I don't feel the fact that Richard Gage said that these witnesses, he was led to believe, I'll take that back, I struck that. He thought that these witnesses all saw a flyover, and then to find out that none of them saw a flyover, I can understand why he came to the conclusion he did about those witnesses or how those witnesses were presented to him. So that, I think that's all I have time to say. But
Okay, thank you. And Jeffrey?
Yeah, first of all, I served on the board of AE 9/11 Truth, and the board is essentially a rubber stamp board for Richard Gage. Richard Gage is AE 9/11 Truth. He runs the show. He makes the policies. And everything that they do, he may be influenced by other people, but I would not say that the board tells him what to do. It's virtually the other way around. Now, as far as the CIT stuff goes, I think Richard should have basically stayed out of it because it's just something that doesn't involve him, and I don't understand why he should either give an endorsement or withdraw an endorsement or whatever it is. Too much glory and too much power is given to Richard Gage. He's an architect. That's it.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Don, you're next.
Okay. As far as Richard goes, I will just say briefly, I know he has been overruled by the board, and he has told me he has been. He was in favor of a certain thing, and he got overruled. But what I want to say mainly is the strategy of an infiltrator would be to get us talking about each other instead of the subject of 9/11, and to get us talking about what we think happened instead of what we can prove did not happen. The more we talk about each other, it's like fighting a tar baby. Getting us talking about off the subject, we are not the subject, okay? So that's a success for an infiltrator. Gets us off the subject. Another thing is that if we found somebody was an infiltrator, or some group was working against us deliberately, what could we do about it anyway? The best thing is to ignore it. As far as Sunstein, I have twice invited him formally to send a representative or come himself and talk to us about 9/11. I, of course, got no answer. But I think if we invited some government information agents as such to come and talk to us about 9/11, I think that would be a good thing.
Okay. Let's see. Steve Barry, you next.
Steve Barney,
okay.
I got to disagree with you there, Don. I feel that infiltration is a cancer, and you can't just ignore a cancer because it's very invasive and aggressive. And I think it's important that we take a close look at what the strategy is of these people, without calling names. You know, be peaceful about it, but recognize and share what these people are saying and what they're doing. I just want to quickly mention that I wrote a blog for Jim Fetzer. It's on Veterans Today, if you want to go check it out, about my experience with AE 9/11 Truth and about their off-topic policies. And I would like to see those off-topic policies aborted. And I think that Richard Gage should have a stance on the Pentagon because it did, in fact, suffer a structural failure. And there was a Pentagon Building Performance Report put out on it. So that should be critiqued by the organization, and they should stop treating it with neglect.
They permanently do not want to go there.
Joe Balter?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely insane that we hold conference calls and just let everybody know what we're doing so they can, you know, isolate and neutralize those people who take leadership roles. And I would just ask the group to, you know, make a quick decision about who you think created 9/11 and then work towards shutting down those organizations that created it. And I think we have enough evidence now to convict people in the court of law. And I think we're just spinning our wheels having these feel-good conversations.
Okay. Adam Ruff?
Adam Ruff?
Hi, this is Adam Ruff. I just want to say that the idea that we do nothing about infiltrators is a bogus idea in the first place, because, for example, what if the people from Popular Mechanics were to say that they were truthers and then went on about their business of releasing all their disinformation for the public to view, and then we did nothing about it? In other words, David Ray Griffin didn't write his book debunking Popular Mechanics. We would just be opening ourselves up for anybody to come along and say they're a truther, and then they can put out whatever disinformation they want, and we won't do anything about it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. And Adam Sayed.
Adam Sayed? Yeah.
Adam Sayed.
First of all, in response to Hannah Yaisley, in the film National Security Alert, I mean, if Richard did indeed watch the entire thing from beginning to end, which certainly he said he did and was supposed to have done before issuing his statement of, you know, his endorsement statement in 2009, he would know for sure that CIT presents the witnesses as believing nothing other than the official story. He does not make it a secret that all of those people believe the plane hit. So it's simply wrong. It's deceptive and misleading and wrong for him to say a year and a half later, oh, after I watched the video, I was later on surprised to learn that all of those people say or believe the plane hit the building, because it's made abundantly clear right there. There's no way, there's absolutely no way that he could. So, and anyway, with regard to what Adam Ruff just said regarding Popular Mechanics and David Ray Griffin's book that debunks Popular Mechanics, you know, David Griffin did a great, he did the right thing, which is that he debunked their arguments. And anybody who reads the Popular Mechanics book and then reads David Ray Griffin's rebuttal to it can sort of come to their own conclusion that, you know, the powers that be are paying the senior editors of Popular Mechanics to deliberately put out disinformation about 9/11. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. And last, Ted, you're up.
Okay, this is Ted Diuga. Once again, Sheila's statements pretty much agree with everything that I believe, especially the point about individuals within the A&E truth movement that are steering a great deal of the conversation away from the Pentagon. The Pentagon is definitely the smoking gun, which will ensure that we understand that it was an inside job. As a former military and commercial pilot, I can lead everyone just or suggest that everyone look at the evidence, especially at the Pentagon, and you will notice, and you can't come to any other conclusion that a large commercial aircraft did not crash into the Pentagon. There's no doubt in my mind that there are individuals that are strongly trying to lead us away from that. About 3 weeks ago, Graham McQueen from the Toronto hearings called me and asked me to come to the hearings and be an expert witness on the topic of aeronautical improbabilities. I accepted initially, but eventually had to withdraw because of a scheduled knee surgery. But in the meantime, prior to that, I had talked with him and told him specifically that I would be covering the topic of the Pentagon and the fact that a large commercial aircraft had not crashed into the Pentagon. He was very, very supportive and agreed with everything. And in fact, he asked me to get with David Ray Griffin and coordinate our presentation so that we didn't repeat too much of what each others were saying. And the whole organization that we were participating with was very supportive of bringing in a pilot's point of view. Having said that, I strongly believe that there are, in fact, individuals, and specifically Jim Hoffman and Victoria, that are leading an effort to steer us away from the Pentagon, because that is a smoking gun that leads you to no other conclusion than it was an inside job. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Jenna. I can't right now, Anna. I'd like to propose that we
extend it another 5 minutes.
Okay, there's a motion to extend this discussion 5 minutes. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
I think we're going to have to take a vote on that. It requires 2/3 to change the agenda, so Anna, will you call the roll, please?
Sure. Adam Syed?
Aye.
Don Stahl?
Nay.
Barbara Honegger?
Yay.
Adam Ruff?
Aye.
Mr. Dietz?
Aye.
Ms. Buka?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Susan Serpa?
Nay.
Shelton Langford?
Aye.
Sheila Casey?
Aye.
Michael Cook?
Aye.
Paul Zaremka?
Aye.
Robin Horton?
Nay.
Craig McKee?
Aye.
George Ripley?
Aye.
Senator Gravel is not here. Anna,
yeah,
aye. Oh, hi, Mr. Senator Gravel. And that's a yay?
Yes.
Anna Yeisley, yay. Ken Freeland?
I don't vote. So it sounds like we have a 2/3 majority to continue for 5 more minutes.
Jeffrey Orling. Jeffrey Orling, aye.
Oh, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff.
Sorry, okay. Jeff.
Okay. It sounds like there's a few.
Who was the last name?
I'd like to be on the stack.
Well, one moment. We're still resolving the vote here. Anna, do we have a 2/3 majority to continue?
Jeffrey Orling. After Jeffrey Orling, someone said nay.
Joe Balter, nay.
Okay.
Oh, well, Ken, I was kind of hoping you were keeping count.
I was keeping count. I only see, let me see here, I'll count them. One,
how many nays?
Two, three, only three nays. I got a nay from Susan Serpa, Robin, and Joe Balter.
And Stahl.
Not one from Stahl, too.
Don.
Oh, okay.
And Don Stahl.
Okay, so that sounds like a 2/3 majority to continue. So we can continue the stack. But you're going to have to keep your comments very brief if there's only 5 minutes and a lot of people want to speak yet. So
I'd like to get on the stack if I can. This is Sheila Casey.
Sheila, who else?
Don Stahl.
Don, who else?
Dwayne Dietz.
Dwayne, who else?
George Ripley.
George, who else?
Do you have Anna Yeisley?
No, I don't, Anna, but I'll put you on. Anna, who else?
Mike Cook.
Mike, who else? Okay, we've got 6 speakers in 5 minutes, so try to keep it to about 45 seconds, please. Go ahead, Sheila.
Okay. In reply to the people who say we should do nothing about the infiltrators and just let them go about their business, or and that truth will win out, I don't believe that. I look everywhere in our world, and I see that truth is trampled by multinational corporations that have a lot more power and a much bigger voice than the people that they're trampling upon. It seems to me that money and power ultimately wins out much of the time. So I don't think we can be blasé and simply believe we've got truth on our side. I also think that we are in a dangerous situation where we have enough organizations that believe or that are apparently working across purposes to us that they seem to be able to create a false sense of consensus And unfortunately, many people do not really have the courage of their convictions sufficiently or have enough backbone to make up their own minds and kind of go with the crowd, even though they are truthers. They go with what seems to be the consensus. So I feel that we need to fight against this impression of a false consensus that the big plane did hit the Pentagon.
Okay. Don?
Suppose we did identify someone who said, say, I am a truther, and the truth movement, in my opinion, we all agree that the Martians did it. Now, what are we going to do about such a person? Tie them up and gag them? There is nothing we could do except spend our time denouncing them and talking about them instead of the subject, which is an excellent, once we do that, they've won.
Thank you, Don. Dwayne?
I would like to say that I think this removal of endorsement by Richard is an anomaly. It's an anomaly because, well, we don't know what motivated him to do that. I suspect the board voted that he must do it, but I don't know that, and they may have even written a letter for him to sign. The other reason it's an anomaly is he has done nothing to respond to the criticism. He's not answered anyone. He just left this letter out there. I think it's a very poor thing for Richard to have done, but I still think it's very much of an anomaly, and I don't think we should have a whole policy based on an anomaly. Over.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. And let's see, George?
I want to just say how wonderful all the comments have been. I didn't agree with everything Sheila said, but I did agree with the with some of it. But particularly I wanted to comment on the part with regards to the drunken phone call. Was it by Jeff Hill? Is that correct, Sheila?
Well, we didn't actually play the drunken phone call tonight. We played other things.
Was that the name, Jeff Hill?
Jeff Hill, but yeah, that wasn't one of the clips from tonight.
At any rate, I didn't get the part about where he apologized to the person who he was insulting that in that drunken call. At any rate, there's a lot of good stuff going into 11-11-11, and you know, let's pry open the doors. Let's go on through. This has got to, we've got to have some transparency for the people of the United States on this issue.
Okay, so George and Anna?
Anna Yeisley here. Is that who you said?
Yes, Anna.
There was a comment earlier about what's going on with AE-911 Truth, and I just want to say what's going on with AE-911 Truth is a very successful European tour. We have a lot of attention going our way as far as the truth movement because of AE-911 Truth and what they are doing. I don't see that if they are infiltrated, and I suppose we all have to agree that of course they are. I'm not sure that that infiltration is having any success because the truth is coming out. The other thing I wanted to say is if you were to weigh the evidence of the WTC collapses, and you weigh the evidence of the Pentagon or what hit the Pentagon or what didn't hit the Pentagon, there's no argument that if we're all after a reinvestigation of 9/11, we got to go where we have the strongest set of evidence and facts and a sure case, sure cut, and closed case, or whatever, however you say it. And I believe the architects and engineers have a shut and closed case. And if we want an investigation, I'm not saying that there isn't.
Time, Anna.
Okay.
Thank you. And Mike.
Hey, thanks. I think the most important things we need to do in the movement is educate the uninformed and do anything possible to get a real investigation. I also believe the infiltrators are very important, and I really want to know what we can do about it. I don't think there's nothing we can do. There's always something you can do. It doesn't have to happen on this call, email, brainstorming, future calls, whatever. A list of practical, constructive steps we can take, things we can do to address this problem is called for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Okay. It's time to move on now to the next agenda item, which is, Senator Gravel is here, so we'll go ahead and do our update on the Citizens 9/11 Commission. Senator Gravel, can you start that off for us?
Yeah. I'm at a point where I've just finished reading a court case, and we'll have to get a hold of the Office of Campaign Policies and get that cleared up, because here's my reservation is I would hate to get all organized legally, and we already have a corporation in California, and get organized legally, and we don't raise the money it takes to do the job in Massachusetts, which would be around $200,000, a similarly amount in Oregon, and then of course you could do $1 million it would take to do it in California. You've all been discussing the various issues and making the case that this is evidence, well, that could win in court. Well, first off, we don't have it in court. The government's not moving. My judgment is the government won't move. The media will continue to sustain the government's inactivity on this and the continued marginalization. And so what the movement needs is an actionable item. That means that you take what you know and you say, okay, let's do something about it. Well, if you've got it, and this is a problem I have with A&E. They won't share any list that we could send out to. You mentioned a European tour. We could use European financial support on this subject. But so far, if you just look at our website, you'll see that we, what, raised $8,000? If that's the level of commitment from the movement to arrive at an actionable item that would have some legal consequences, right now, all of the studies that you're making have no legal consequences. It's information. And the worst thing that happens in our society is that we hold the belief that because we know something, we can do something about it. Well, you can't. What you do on election day is give your power away, and they don't attend to what you think is important. So the I'll continue, get the research done. We cleared up the situation that, of course, we can use corporate monies to go ahead and advance the initiative in Massachusetts. I'm very delighted with the work that's been done by Rich McCampbell, Rachel Coyne, Susan Serpa, and others, and Jonathan Mark. They just like a phoenix, just rose out of the ground to try and carry this forward. But I can't stress, if we don't get the contributions, and everything will be very transparent, make no mistake about that. We haven't hired an accountant yet because we don't have the money to hire an accountant at this point. We're just paying what bills we have that are all very modest, and that's the best we can do. So we could have discussions for the next 50 years about what happened, but unless you have an actionable item that would have some level, and the reason why I say some level of legality, it's because we're using the initiative at the state level and de facto trying to fashion a national effort in that regard by doing it in other states. So that's, of course, what we're trying to do, and I'll continue to work on that. I follow the various issues. I'm guided by the views of people telling me, well, we shouldn't get that person involved or this person involved. That's fine with me. All I'm interested is, from a political point of view, the efforts of the government do not pass the smell test. Most people who focus on this in the world know that. And so what we need to do is to now start a legal process. And it's really a very interesting one. If you have a chance, you'll see the Q&As. I wrote up a group of Q&As because they were asking me, well, how will the commission function? Well, I've addressed that, and it will be available on our site for everybody to examine. But keep in mind, if the commission is going to be independent, it won't necessarily be controlled by any group of people. I'd be happy to respond to any questions at this point in time.
Robin,
okay, let's see, it's probably several people would like to respond, so let's get a stack going here. Who would like to make a comment? Joe Balter, Anna Yeisley, who else?
Don Stahl.
Don Stahl, who else?
Robin.
Barbara, who else?
Robin.
Robin, myself, who else?
Mike,
who else? Okay, so I got Joe, Anna, Don, Barbara, Robin, myself, and Mike. Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Mike, you said something that resonated in me, and that's the actionable item. Can you share your wisdom with us, having gone through the civil rights movement and the women's movement? What would you consider the civil rights movement having used actionable items to move forward their agenda to get racial equality? And with the women's movement, can you point out some actionable items that have been used by other groups in the past that have had success? And don't be locked into having to think that we have to take this into court. For example, in the civil rights movement, they had boycotts, which what I would consider an actionable item. So talk free associate around that.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. First off, with the civil rights movement, they were using the law. They were physically sitting and demonstrating that these laws at the state level were contravening the Constitution of the United States, which they had been doing for 90 years. That'll give you an idea of the problems with states' rights and federalism, but that's a whole other area. So they physically put it on the line that this is the law, we're going to obey the law, and you people who are harassing us, who are hanging us, who are doing all these things, you are the lawbreakers. And that filtered through to the American people, and that's what set the stage to solve the problem. Now, with respect to the women's ERA, it's a great tragedy that 51% or 52% of the public is made up of women, and they couldn't get a constitutional amendment to establish their rights equal to males. And let me tell you why. Real simple. You can't amend the Constitution in an intelligent fashion. 13 states, the chambers of 13 states can block any amendment to the Constitution, and that, if you add the numbers, like you take the state, that's about 500 or 600 people that can stop our country from improving its system of governance. Those are the two areas. Now, why the ERA didn't work is because the structure did not permit it. The law was there, and they couldn't get by it. There's another one that's really classic, and that is the same freeze, the nuclear freeze that was in 18 months, came out of Massachusetts, and in 18 months, more American citizens had voted for the nuclear freeze than any other issue in our entire history. When it got to the House, it passed unanimously. When it got to Ronald Reagan's desk, he read it, put it in the drawer. That was the end of the issue. And the reason why is that it was not a law. It was not a law. And what we're attempting to do with the initiative process is set up a law. So once the people of Massachusetts vote for this, and Oregon and other states, it will be the law. And so you'll be able to subpoena people. Now, they may not all turn up, but all you got to do is begin to pull the scab back, and who knows what will crawl out and be used by the public to persuade it, like the civil rights movement had, that this is the law. We are truly finding out criminality, and what are we going to do about it? Now, all we can do at this point is turn it over to a state government or the federal government. But you'll see in the Q&As that I respond to on how the commission would operate legally that there's a lot of ifs. But there's one thing I've learned in life, and that is that you put one foot in front of the other, and you don't know what the intended consequences will be, but the unintended consequences will be, but you do know it's an actionable item, and you're not just talking the talk.
Okay, but Joe.
I'm sorry. Okay, we have to move on. Anna, your turn. And try to keep your comment brief, please, or your question, so everybody.
And I'll try to be brief in response.
Thank you,
Senator Gravel. I wanted to talk to you about the idea of taking back our local governments. Is something I believe that is important for America to realize that if we don't influence and have a direct influence on our local governments, then our state governments, the federal government, we don't want to use federal governments to establish laws except for. So I wanted to suggest, and I've been thinking about, We Are the People. They're doing this thing called the Citizens Lobby, where each state would have a lobby group for the state legislatures. Conversely, a citizens grand jury, and I'm just throwing out some ideas. I'd love to, I don't know if I need to clarify, but I understand that, Barbara, you were involved with a citizens grand jury involving 9/11, and couldn't we do that on a local level? What worries me about the initiative so far is that really, unless you're in Massachusetts or in Oregon, I can't see how the citizen, that's going to generate the support for the Citizens 9/11 Commission. I don't see how they're going to get personally involved if we're only talking about two states. What could I do in Virginia, for instance, besides just asking for money? I believe we need an action, like you keep saying, Senator Grau. We need an action on what how about forming local citizen grand juries? If you have any ideas about that.
Yes, I do. I'm familiar with Ned Crosby's stuff. It's a good idea. We've used it in the national initiative. We don't call it citizen grand jury because a professor in Germany had done the same thing, and so. But we use it as a device. But keep in mind, you can't have a grand jury at a local level. Grand jury powers are state-authorized powers, so you've got to go at the state level. However, you can get local governments to endorse what you're doing. See, what we're creating, and it's not just Massachusetts, we need to get this enacted in one state at least, maybe two. And then with the joint powers agreement, they both agree, and it's in the law, to have a harmonization where there's only one commission. Both states will have it. Both states will provide their grand jury powers to that, and that's a beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning of what will happen that will have legal consequences, because if somebody were subpoenaed in Massachusetts, I'll give you an example. Supposing George Bush is going to Boston, and Massachusetts has this commission. Well, they can subpoena George Bush right then and there. If he doesn't honor the subpoena and show up, then he can be incarcerated until he actually shows up. Then he can be put under oath. And if he lies, he perjures himself, and that's a crime. Whether it's a crime in Massachusetts or Texas or Virginia, it's a crime that you now can nail him to the cross with. But you see, until you get to that level of legal basis, you're really doing nothing but talking about an issue, bringing forth unbelievable volumes of information, but information in the hands of the people who can't do anything about it makes the people cynics.
Thank you. Okay, Don?
Senator Gravel, who is the best contact person to talk to about your fundraising?
We've got a site up. It's first off, it'd be Byron Belitzo or me. Okay. We're pretty thin here, we're trying to get an angel. So we made some approaches. It didn't work. But we can get a foreign angel, we can get a domestic angel, makes no difference. But we need to win in Massachusetts $200,000, and it has to be on the table between now and October.
Right.
So, George, what's his name? George Ripley, who's on the phone. He's a fundraiser. I try to keep myself involved, and I'm overwhelmed just doing the legal stuff. And as you know, I'm making a tour of Massachusetts, which is going to test my physical prowess. But so, Ken Jenkins, Byron Belizzo, George Ripley, you know, these are 9/11 truthers. I've been a truther from the get-go, but I've not been active because I believe much more in the issue of empowering all of you on this telephone line to be able to make laws.
Senator, I was in
Don, I'm sorry. Don, I'm sorry. We have to move on.
You can call me directly if you want to. I'll be happy to visit with you directly on the phone. Let me give you my phone line, my cell phone. 703-618-4056. I'd be happy to visit with you as long as it's not using up too much of my day.
Okay, thanks. Barbara, you're next?
Yes. Barb Honiger here. I'd like to address the issue that I think it was Anna who raised of citizens' grand juries on 9/11 and also the fundraising issue, and I'll first the fundraising. Hi, Senator Gravel.
Hi, Barbara.
Yeah, as you know, I was involved with your California initiative, and we first had our very first meeting at Ken Jenkins' house, and we discussed fundraising, and you said we needed $1 million. I think that many of us made very clear, when you say the movement hasn't come up with enough money, the people in the movement do not have money, and we made that clear at the beginning. You do need an angel. And as you know, I recommended having Barbara Streisand hold a fundraiser and their contacts to get in touch with her. We absolutely do need an angel to make this work. The movement simply does not, the people in the movement are not wealthy people. And I just think we have to acknowledge that. And on the issue of citizens' grand juries, yes, I was the co-founder of two citizens' grand juries on the times of 9/11 that were held at Patriotic Hall in Los Angeles. In 2004, 2005, anyone who'd like the DVD of that, just let me know. I will make one and send it to you for shipping and handling and copying costs. But the bottom line is I agree with Senator Gravel 1,000%. It was a purely informational venture that was important for the time. We swore people up, but unless it is either a federal grand jury, which I agree with Senator Gravel is not going to happen, or a county or a state grand jury, and it's my understanding, at least in California, all county grand juries are creatures of the state constitution. They're effectively state grand juries in each county, sometimes more than one. You have to have a real grand jury in order to have under oath testimony, subpoena power, the ability to use marshals or the equivalent for your state or county to lock people up if they don't respond to a subpoena. You simply don't have that with a citizen's grand jury, and we need something where the legal rubber meets the road. That's why I like what Senator Gravel is doing.
Thank you, Barbara. Mm-hmm.
Robin?
Senator Gravel. I just want to set some things up. I have already donated $100 that I can't afford, but that's because of my deep respect of
Thank you.
But that's because of my deep respect of Ken Jenkins. Had an opportunity to see the film in that you took in San Francisco, and you had made a statement there that the 9/11 truth movement can be mined, okay, and I meant that to be for finances because that's what I think that you had said. I'm very concerned about the political aspect of this whole situation. I have a couple of questions. This is all will make sense at the end. This initiative going to end in 2012. I read recently that there's some people asking you to run for president. And then if you do so, I've asked you before about your relationship to the Libertarian or any other party. I'd like you to reaffirm that, okay? And then what I would like to do is mention to you that there are many, many other organizations who are hard at work at creating citizens' initiatives for other reasons. Here's my point, and it's very direct, Senator. You're late to the 9/11 Truth Movement show. Just before the 10th anniversary, you show up asking for money. I support citizens' initiatives huge. I support what you are doing. but there has to be some reconciliation from the information that I've gathered. Would you please answer that? Thank you.
Yeah, first, the last question first, and restate the question if I don't answer entirely. First off, I won't accept that I'm late to the movement. I haven't been writing books about 9/11. I focus my attention on direct democracy. I just happen to think that direct democracy is more important, and that's what floats my boat. But by the same token, when I suggested that the movement needed an actionable item, I came up with the idea of a state initiative. And so the response with the movement in California was what I thought very strong. And so I've been devoting my time to try to get that initiative going and ferreting through the legal the legal barbed wire of making sure. This has never been done before. And so when you're plowing new ground, you have to be very careful and go at that. Now, with respect to my possible candidacy, what I've said is that if there's money there to have a credible campaign, and that money could be $400,000, $500,000, $1 million, that I would probably run in the primary to make Obama accountable. I'm very distressed over his administration. Now, I've always been a Democrat and a libertarian because the Democratic Party never supported me because, quote, I was a maverick. Well, that means you can't be trusted with the dogma. And so when I moved to California, I registered myself as a Democrat. Because if I'm able to, and it'll depend upon money, if I'm able to, I would hold Obama accountable in the primary. I don't think I'd win the primary. I don't think I'd win the presidency. But then after that, I would do what I did the last time. Once the Democrats throw me out, I would then go to the Libertarians or other groupings that would, because there's some interesting stuff going on out there with independents. So that, now, if I were to run, the number one issue would be direct democracy. The number two issue would be getting support across the country for 9/11 initiatives. And I've done this in Alaska when I ran at the end of my career. I deflected half of the money I raised in my campaign for an issue that I thought was important, which was binary economics. But be that as it may, if it's a lot easier to raise money, and I found this out embarrassingly, it's easier to raise money with a personality than it is with a cause or an issue. And that's the difficulties we have here. And so if I were to run, and money were forthcoming in order to, and there's a lot of people that would like to see Obama held accountable, and I'm one of them. And so they may want to put their money where their mouth is or where their views are. And if that is the case, I would use a good part of those monies to advance the 9/11 initiative deal. Because you see, that's more immediate. That can happen right now. And let me just add one point. If the National Initiative for Democracy were enacted into law, and you could go to ni4d.us or the nationalinitiative.us. If that law were in place today, what we could do is have a national investigation, a national commission created within 30 days. But that law is not in place, so we'll do the best we can with state laws. I hope I've answered all facets of your question.
To give you some other information, he allowed me to ask a follow-up. I'm going to ask it.
No, he didn't ask you a follow-up. He asked you to clarify if he didn't answer your questions. Has he answered the questions that you asked?
No.
Okay, then tell him what he didn't answer that you asked him. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. In 2007, I was in Washington, D.C., and I saw Webster Tarpley try to manipulate the 9/11 Truth Movement to support his run for presidency in the primaries in the state of New Hampshire. Being the same feeling from hearing you speak what you're speaking. Once again, I'm going to ask you, are you using the 9/11 Truth Movement to support your run for president?
Hell no.
Thank you.
I think that's very clear. Okay, let's see. I guess I'm next. Sorry, Robin, you're next.
I just spoke.
Let me add one thing to that that's very important. I'm 81 years old. do you think that I really want to go out there and beat my brains out for a presidential campaign? Period. Okay, that's.
We'll answer your question. No, I don't. But I wanted you to say what you just said. Thank you. It just took me
okay.
long.
Okay. Okay. No problem.
Robin, you're next.
I'm done.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Then my question, Senator, was just to remind you that in the last time you were on the call, people were asking for a draft language for the Massachusetts initiative, and you said you were going to try to get that.
Well, it's not. First off, it's not the draft language. It's language that's been filed. Period.
Okay.
On the 3rd of August, and there was a summary on our website, and then I jumped on Byron and said, Byron, get that up on our website so people can read it. And he told me it was being done. I don't know. I haven't been to the website to follow through on it. You know, here too, we're thin, and everybody's doing 10 different jobs.
Okay.
Yes,
is this up there? Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Please read it. It's only 3 pages long.
Okay. All right, thank you. And Mike, you're last. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much. My name is Mike Cook. I'm an activist at Cincinnati, Ohio. I've been active since 2001. I'm a huge fan of direct democracy. I'd love to see none of the above on the ballot. I'd love to see honest elections. I don't think we have a prayer until we have those. I fully support the ballot initiative, the Citizens 9/11 ballot initiative. And I'm a huge fan of yours, sir. Thank you so much for the Pentagon Papers. I'm volunteer at AE, and I'm very disheartened that they won't share their list with you. I know that there's a competition for funds. I know that our wallets are meager, and I think that they should do it. I think it stinks. I'm happy to do what I can to try to make them share their list with you. I'm responsible for the Building What campaign, which has now morphed into the Remember Building 7 campaign. That was my idea. I was on a phone with AE, and Ted Walters was on the line. I said, just need to raise money and get 30-second ads on the television. And they raised, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's doing pretty good. So I think you should talk to him. Talk to Ted Walter at Remember Building 7 about what he can do about raising some funds. And I'm trying to get through real quick.
Okay.
I have an idea for an actionable item. I want to file an amicus brief in legal cases involving 9/11. We missed a chance. There was a Silverstein Law case against the airline companies and the security companies at the airport. It was hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. That's a big incentive for the defendants. Our evidence is relevant. The planes did not cause the loss of the buildings, and so on. Anyway, I handed that idea off to AE, and nothing happened with it, and the case is now closed in Silverstein's favor. It was a missed opportunity and very sad. There is another new case that had just been through the appellate court in New York. It's going to go forward with involving World Trade Center 7 against the Port Authority for putting the diesel tanks in there. So I'm looking for help, at least in filing. I'm willing to do all of the writing, and I've got a lot of help at AE with the editing and making sure all the information is exactly correct. But we're looking for a lawyer to file it. So that's all. Thank you.
If I could comment on that, amicus briefs are fine, but they're not going to be broadly heard of or viewed by the public. And the difference is when you're going after, you get a petition qualified in an entire state, it is an issue in that entire state, and people will know about it. And that will advance the cause of all the work you've been doing. Because as people focus on a decision, the argumentations that you're making privately within the movement will now become public, and so will the agent provocateurs. You know, but that's democracy, direct democracy at its best.
Yeah, I fully agree.
Okay. Thank you. Any final comments, Senator Goodall?
No, except that, you know, Whenever you talk about me and the presidency, I never wanted to be president the first time around. I probably wanted to be president when I was a kid. But right now, if we had the national initiative in place, we could do more as private citizens than all the presidents of the United States put together. And that's, of course, but when I ran for president, it was to advance the 9/11. I mean, not 9/11, the national initiative, and the media wouldn't touch it. I'd make my make my statement, and then after that, we went into the issues of the war and all of that, which I feel obviously deeply about it and get involved. But the answer is to empower people. Only two venues for change: the government, where the problem exists, and the people. Problem is, the people don't have the tools to do the job. And I might say that when you hear the statement, you know, we got to take back our country. Well, let me tell you, with a little bit of research, you'll find out we never had it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sergeant, very much.
Annie, I just have one small, quick comment.
Not without, no, I can't do that unless we open it up again for everybody. Does anybody want to make a proposal to continue the discussion?
I make a proposal. We continue.
Okay, it's the move that we continue the discussion. Since this is a priority issue and we've agreed on that, I don't think it requires a two-thirds majority. So does anybody oppose giving it another few more minutes for people to make final comments? Hearing no objection. Okay, who would like to make first?
Steve Harney.
I just
want to let Senator Gravel, I just sent you an email. I have a friend on a board of directors for a fundraising organization who may be able to help out. I sent
Wonderful.
You an email, so please respond back with whatever information you have.
Okay, I'm looking at it. This is Steve, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I see the word angel. That turns me on.
Okay, Steve?
That's it.
Thank you. Anna?
I wanted to say that I think it's exciting that you would that someone would pose the question to you, Senator Gravel, that are you running using 9/11 to run on a presidential ticket? Just the fact that anyone would want to run for president using 9/11 as a platform is exciting.
Well, you people are passing out millstones. That's what you're doing. Okay. They'll give you proof that I don't really want to win. I just want to get the issues out.
Exactly. That has convinced me.
Very well said.
Okay. Nobody else has anything important to say at this point?
Joe Balter.
Go ahead.
Mike Gravel, I hope we could turn this into the civil rights movement of 2011 and look at the issues of committing civil disobedience and boycotts like women's groups have and people of color have. The second issue I want to raise is there's a good connection for you down in New York with Danny Schechter, who is friends with all the big rock stars like Springsteen, Dylan.
Send me an email on that. We'll follow through. Send me an email.
I will.
I'm trying to get, today was working on two documents to try to get Larry Flynn, who's been very supportive, and then I've got to go after Oliver Stone. I know both of those gentlemen, and so I just want to make a plea for them. But you raised something else that just hit my mind, and I got my senior moment, and I forgot it.
I want to make 2011 the new civil rights movement where we use civil
Let me answer that. Let me answer to that real quick. Let me answer.
And et cetera.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You will. I got to tell you, when we get the legality of an initiative going, and when you see the stonewalling that will take place when we subpoena the FBI for the videos of, you know, the Pentagon, they're not going to honor that.
Right.
But then we're going to need people to go ahead and picket the Pentagon.
Right.
Keep in mind, I picketed Richard Nixon's White House with two members from the Canadian Parliament over nuclear testing in Alaska. So no, I believe in protests, but you got to understand, protests have to have something actionable, because if you don't have something actionable to raise attention, then protests are just proof that our representative democracy does not work for the best interests of the people.
Well, I grew up with Saul Alinsky, so I understand.
Great. No, I'm not afraid to protest, except that, you know, as you get older, you got to use your time a little more wisely.
Okay, thank you all for your comments. Senator Revelle, thanks again for coming on the call, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks if you can make it back, okay?
I'll try to I'll try to. George Ripley will keep me by the scruff of the neck and keep me in front of you, okay?
Thank you for your time.
Look, at the pleasure's mine. We're doing the Lord's work, if you believe in the Lord, but I don't particularly, but that's what we're doing.
Thank you. Okay. Let's move on now and talk about the Toronto hearings. First of all, we are going to give Paul Zaremka an opportunity that he's asked for to clarify the disinvitation, re-invitation that he's experienced. Paul, go ahead.
Yes, I want to read a statement for the record. It will probably take about 1.5 minutes. If anybody has any questions afterwards, I'll try and answer it. I'm just trying to clarify what happened. So this is for the minutes, but I'll be sending it to Anna and Ken, so you don't need to copy it down.
I'll put it in the notes. That's fine. Thank you.
I reported to the teleconference that I had been invited as an expert witness for the Toronto hearings on the subject of insider trading, then disinvited after two concerns I was pursuing with regard to the agenda and the structure of the hearings. After further internal discussion, the steering committee reconsidered its position and opted to put our misunderstanding behind us by re-inviting me to present my insider trading evidence. All of the steering committee and I agree that the matter is settled and we need to move on. I would like to thank the steering committee for reconsidering its position. On another matter, I am pleased that there will be some discussion of the past flight of AA-77 at the hearings. Additionally, I call attention to the post-hearing event organized by Barry Zwicker for the evening of September 11th on investigations by CIT and pilots for 9/11 truth. That's it.
Thank you. Any questions for Paul on this to clarify?
Thanks for standing up, man. Attaboy. Good job. Well done. Super.
Thank you.
I know that we're all pleased that Paul's going to be able to testify there after all. It didn't look real good a while back. Does anybody have a question for Paul on this, or can we move on to the next part of this?
Yeah, I'll see you there, Paul.
Okay. Right, Mike.
it's Barbara.
Barbara?
Yeah, I'd just like everybody to know that I will be a witness as well at the Toronto hearing.
All right, Barbara.
Great.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. And I will be focusing on evidence for early explosions at the Pentagon.
Great. Yay! Okay. Well,
Bobby, you're the tallest short person in the 9/11 truth movement.
Yeah, well, last year I was, a 2 billion candle power beam in New York City. So.
I know, man. I know. It's awesome. For you, too.
Okay, anyway, I just wanted everybody to know that's a new development, and I think that it's I've been formally invited, and I've formally accepted, and the content is being negotiated. Let's put it that way, but I will be speaking.
Well, I think, okay, Ted, did you want to say further about your issue with the, what goes on with you in the Toronto hearings, or have you pretty much reported on what you had to say?
Sure. Let me tell you just a summary, though. I believe that initially, as the hearings were being put together again, there were a group of individuals that were, in fact, very successful in steering comments concerning the Pentagon. I think just the sheer number of volunteers that they had to bring in for the purpose of putting on the hearings led to enough dissension within the group to start allowing new groups in. Once again, when I was invited, I told them specifically I was going to be talking about the non-evidence at the Pentagon since I won't be able to go, I have been suggesting other pilots that might be available. They're still working trying to get a pilot's point of view to be part of the program. And if you have any questions on that, I'm available.
Any questions for Ted and Elise?
Just a thank you, Ted, from Robin. Hi, Elise.
Hi. This is Elise. When Ted was talking about lack of evidence, he was specifically meaning lack of evidence of Flight 77 crashing there, and he made that specific to Graham.
Yeah, I really think that there are enough volunteers within the that are participating in the hearings right now that they have overcome the resistance from these possible infiltrators that are trying to keep us away from the Pentagon issue.
Ooh. Okay, well, I was playing the good, the bad, and the ugly there in the background, kind of coming down. Star Six, please. Okay. Thank you, Ted and Elise, for that report.
This is Robin here. I would like to give props to Anna, talking about the truth shall overcome. Atta girl.
Thank you.
Okay, so Anna, now we need to hear from you if there's been any response from the Toronto Conference Steering Committee to our request for knowing how they decided about the release of invitees' names.
There has been no response. I also have not done any follow-up, so perhaps we should go ahead and agree. Should we do a follow-up?
Well, I guess that would be the next question. Since we did, I hope everybody on our listserv has seen the letter that Anna sent. But just to update anybody who wasn't on the previous call, we were pretty much told by what was her name? The name of the woman from the Toronto.
Lori Manuel,
who was on our conference call three times ago. That she would find out from them whether she would be permitted to release the list of invitees, because we were concerned, some of our people were concerned that they were not inviting people to talk about the Pentagon anyway.
But
so,
you know what, Ben, we've had some great developments, so possibly indirectly we have heard a response, because Ted and Paul have now been invited to the hearing, isn't that
I think so. Plus the fact that Ted had already been invited. Ted had been invited before we even had the discussion. Okay?
So has Barbara. I think we have.
Robin on the
stack. It sounds like, it does sound to me like the question has pretty much been mooted by developments, but Robin, go ahead.
Yeah, in case you haven't noticed, I speak rather bluntly. I did to Graham. Congratulations to all of us about putting pressure on them to open their eyes and their minds. Well done, gang. Hey,
I agree. I think the fact that Lori heard from us on this conference call about our concerns about the omission of that evidence in the Toronto hearings made a difference. I really do, even though she hasn't responded.
We can drop this subject. We don't need the email, the messages. We got it. We did a good job.
I believe we have consensus on that, so I think we can move on to the next thing. Now, Michael Cook, I believe we've heard your argument for the amicus brief. Senator Revelle, you don't need to add anything to that, do you?
All I need to add is that I'm looking for a lawyer who's willing to file for free.
Mm-hmm.
The brief will actually be handed to him. I think Senator Gravel is perfectly correct that the Citizens Initiative is much better because it's much more public, but this is a way to possibly get into court.
If you'd like to write a very short paragraph summary of your brief, and the fact that you're looking for a pro bono lawyer to file it for you, we could include that in the minutes for you, okay?
Okay, great.
Is that Cincinnati?
Excuse me one second. I may be able to help on that. Had you thought of filing it pro se?
Well, I have filed pro se before. It's gone nowhere. I was hoping to have a lawyer file it, hoping it would have more legs.
What state?
Ohio.
Okay.
And Virginia.
Okay. Ohio and Virginia, okay.
just send Anna a brief summary. If you don't have her email address, you can send it. Are you on our listserv, Mike?
I get your emails. Yeah, I can just respond to that.
No, not the agendas and so forth. I'm talking about our listserv. We have a listserv on which we have more less formal discussion.
No, I'm not on that.
Well, just let everyone know that we do have a listserv that, you know, continues our discussions informally between teleconferences. And if you'd like to be on it, you can email me by just responding to any of the things that you've received, and I'll put you on it. Michael, you can go ahead and send back to me that if you don't want to be on the listserv, just send it back to me, and I'll get it through Anna, okay, for the minutes.
Okay, yeah, well, sure. I don't mind being on the listserv, and I'll do that for anybody.
All right, well, we'll put you on the listserv then. I'll put you on the listserv, and then you can give it to everybody. Everybody can take a look at it when you put it on there, and we'll get it in the minutes for you too. Okay?
Sure, super, super good. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Paul,
I'll
make a comment.
I'm sorry. Who's this?
Paul.
Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, I have filed pro se, and it was actually quite successful. Nothing to do with this kind of issue, but I wouldn't say that pro se doesn't have legs. It's very useful to get it started that way because it's much cheaper than doing it through a lawyer. And then after you get going, and there's certain things that the court can't do regardless of whether it's done by a lawyer or done by yourself, then later pick up a lawyer. This is my own experience I'm speaking from.
George Ripley here. I wanted to get some names. I'm a little confused. Michael, someone is proposing a lawsuit in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and
no.
I don't have any connection, last name for him or contact info.
I can.
You want to give your contact info, Michael?
Yes, contact info. The email is truthmiracle, truthmiracle@hotmail.com, landline 859-360.
Hold on a second. 859?
360-1358. This is not a lawsuit. There is already an existing lawsuit. There is an opening for friends of the court. Amicus curiae means friend of the court. And you're someone who is not involved in a court case but has evidence that's relevant to it may submit it. It's up to the judge whether or not it gets in, but you can also send it to the defendants. And if the defendants are facing, in this case, $315 million, they may want to try to get it in to save themselves $315 million. So it's one way to get 9/11 evidence into court.
That's 859-360-1358.
Yeah, that's the landline.
And Mike, you are Michael Cook. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm sorry. That's right. Correct. Cook.
And with an E at the end? C-O-O-K-E?
No, just like you cook food.
Okay.
No E.
And just in Ohio and Pennsylvania?
Ohio and Virginia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Those are places where I've filed before in other cases. I filed in Ohio and I filed in Virginia as pro se, and it went nowhere. And this case is in New York.
Oh. Okay. Now we are at the 8:40 or the 1 hour and 40 minute mark, which means we're pretty much past the time that we normally devote to a conference call. But we could have discussion, continue our open-ended discussion about the state of the 9/11 truth movement and any pending projects to celebrate the 10th anniversary and beyond. So how do people feel? Do we want to continue the call or do we want to adjourn at this point?
I have something to mention, Paul Zaremka.
I want to hear Barbara. I do also, Barbara.
All right. Well, then let's just say, does anybody have an objection to continuing the conference call? If not, then I'll just take speakers on the stack and we can proceed. Go ahead.
Anna
Paul, Paul, Barbara, Anna.
Don,
who else?
Paul.
Barbara.
Paul, yeah, Barbara, right, Anna. Who else?
Don Stahl.
Don. Who else?
Robin.
Robin. Who else? Okay. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, we're doing something very interesting in Buffalo. Richard Gage is coming through right before he goes to Toronto. He's coming through on September. He'll be here all day on September 6th. And we're having an event for students in the afternoon, and we're having a very unusual event. I think it's an unusual event in the evening where we're having a private meeting. We're having a room with about 220 people. We're inviting architects and engineers throughout Western New York through their law firms, I mean, not their law firms, their engineering firms, their architectural firms, and private solicitations to these professionals. So we're going to have a circumstance, we hope it'll be successful, where Gage is going to have to talk to and answer questions from professionals in architecture and engineering. I think it's really exciting, actually.
Awesome.
George would like to get on the stack.
Okay, George, I got you on there. Barbara, you next?
Yes, I just, it sounds like people don't yet know that the, I think it's Independent News Network, INN, is holding a 9/11 conference on September 11th in New York City. They held a three-day conference last year that I attended and did the third beam in the sky at. And I will be a speaker there on the Pentagon attack this year.
Barbara, what is INN? What is that?
Robin?
What is INN? What is it?
It's Lenny Charles's Independent News Network. It is a television and radio station that is independent in New York City.
I see. Thank you.
Robin, for a comment to Barbara?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robin.
Okay, I attended too, Barbara, and I have been very troubled about INN. I thought that conference last year was absolutely awesome in the fact that we had a chance to interrelate with the Muslim community. But the fact of the matter is, from what I see, INN's entire taping of that event was simply buried. Don't see
well,
any
the
of
problem, it. Yeah, just a brief comment. The problem there is that Lenny has to recoup the cost of his conference, which were huge. He was flying people in from all over the country and the world. And so he ended up selling the product, the video product, and so therefore it doesn't get out.
Right. Okay, so therefore I look at it, Barbara, from my experience in life as that being a well-designed gatekeeping program. Sorry.
I have to disagree with that. I think I'm just glad to get the information out as many places as possible. I'll be speaking in Toronto and also in New York City.
Oh, no, you should do what you do. I'm just telling you about INN.
Yeah, I understand. It's not perfect, but it's
okay.
Better than nothing.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you. And Anna, you're next?
I was just going to update the group on some AE9/11 Truth actions that are happening. We're making a whole new round of calls to petitioners to get some organization regarding visiting local sheriff office and presenting the DVD and some evidence, some of the AE9/11 evidence, to go into local sheriff offices, having some vigils outside local courthouses, and also advertising the showings of the new documentary Experts Speak Out. So it hasn't materialized into a whole lot of action, but it has materialized into a whole lot of communication, which is only going to help our cause, Senator Gravel's cause, to have our local community more alerted to the 9/11 question and the need for a reinvestigation. So I think that's all very exciting.
Okay, Anna, Don.
Some people in Boston are concerned about the legality of the situation whereby the organization in California names all the commissioners, and they are wondering whether or not the fact that there are no Massachusetts residents in that organization would be a legal obstacle to getting things going in Massachusetts.
Could I address that?
Please, Senator, please.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, we're going to have people on the steering committee, and the ones that are most active right now are Rich McCampbell and Rich O'Coin, Susan Serpa. There's no way. It's just going to be a cabal from California, and it's a very, very critical committee because the selection process, and I think I addressed that in the Q&As that will be up on our site about how the selection process will go forward, because we will take recommendations from the general public. whether just period, anybody's got a suggestion, and then sift through it and do the proper vetting and all of that, and probably hire a headhunter firm to work with us on the vetting process so it's done very professionally and very properly. And you'll see in the Q&As that we don't exclude truthers. It's not going to be partisan. And there's a whole criteria that I've outlined, and that's just one person's criteria. That's not what's going to finally operate. I'm just one person with ideas, and so we would try to incorporate any reasonable idea, but you do have to have a manageable group of people that will then be passing on all of these selections. So I hope that satisfies it for the time being, and I think we can just wait and see out of Massachusetts who comes forward. The same thing with Oregon, the same thing with any state that comes forward we will have. Now, when you talk about the California group, here's the California group. Me, Ken Jenkins, Byron Belizzo's in Cleveland, and so clearly it's not going to be Ken Jenkins and I, and of course you got George Ripley in Washington, D.C. That's it. That's our organization right now.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Let's see. Robin, you're next.
Yeah, the general discussion is the state of the 9/11 truth movement, and I just want to remain optimistic here. I feel that we have a great future. And here are some of the points that I want to just put into people's thinking about it. We simply need to get past the politicization, okay, specific politicization of the 9/11 truth movement. We need to get past the We Are Changes, which are nothing more but storefronts for Ron Paul and the Libertarian Party. We need to get past the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the Constitution Party, all of the parties, and let truth do the singing, okay? Also, I think the best thing is that we simply need to break the information that we've already collected down so that it can fit into the social media. And finally, we need to get past this COINTELPRO issue. Here's the general rule of thumb. If it is counter to your intelligence, then most likely it's COINTELPRO. Let the facts and the evidence speak. If you have something that you don't agree with, you can present it in a respectful way. You don't need to waste your time chasing human beings. People weigh, and Sheila, this is directly for you, and Adam Ruff to you, and maybe Adam Syed directly to you. I feel that any person in the 9/11 truth movement who simply says, takes the point of view, we have to do this for the good of the 9/11 truth movement, is really on thin ice. And here is the thin ice. Deep down, I respect the basic intelligence, okay, of the average citizen to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. Even though Mike is out doing something legally, we can't drop our informational aspects of it and just deliver information to people and trust their human goodness, trust their human kindness, trust the fact they're going to want to make something better. Obviously, cognitive dissonance is an issue, but we'll get through that. We have a great 10 years ahead of us, and we will win this. This is a really good thing as long as we get by these stupid political parties and this needless chase or effort to track down and chase counterintelligence operatives. Of course they're there. They're crawling all over the place. Who cares? That's all.
Thank you, Robin.
Good.
George.
Just a news item. On my way to Toronto, I get to do a 24-hour layover in Shanksville. If anybody wants to present me with any questions that I can ask of the mayor or local news people or neighborhoods, pass them on, would you? I'm not any more up to speed on this than most Americans.
Who was that speaking? Sorry.
That's George Ripley.
Oh, George. Great. Thanks.
This is Susan in Boston.
Can I make a quick announcement? I put myself on the thing, but I was on mute and I didn't realize that. I just wanted to make a quick announcement. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Kevin Ryan is going to be debating Popular Mechanics on NPR on Point. It's a tremendous opportunity for call-in callers to continue the debate. He's only got 10 minutes. They have an hour. But it is a call-in show, so people call in 1-800-423-8255. I think it's a tremendous opportunity to get down to the actual issue at hand.
What time?
Did you say National Public Radio?
Repeat.
NPR.
Yeah, repeat.
On Point.
Repeat NPR. The facts. What time?
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow.
Was that 800-423-8255?
That's correct.
One
I just
more.
Forwarded the email to the listserv.
Which,
oh, good.
What, repeat the number, please.
1-800-423-8255.
And the speaker's name, please.
Kevin Ryan.
Oh, I mean you. Sorry.
Oh, Sue Serpa.
Oh, hi, Susan.
Hi.
Could you repeat the number one more time?
1-800-423-8255.
Thank you.
Is there anyone besides Susan Serpa who we didn't get in the initial roll call that's on the call right now? Okay. Thank you. I would like to make a quick comment just to remind everyone that the Toronto hearings will be live streamed, and everyone will be able to listen to all 4 days of that. Through the internet. Okay. Any other comments or questions before we adjourn?
Do we have Ted in attendance on the call?
Ted, are you still here?
I didn't have him on the roll call, but I thought I heard his voice. Yeah, I thought I heard him.
Ted was on the call. Yeah.
Okay.
Jump in with Elise.
Yeah. Okay, no other comments, then I guess we will have our next meeting. Let's see when that's going to be. It will be the second Wednesday of September, which will be the 14th. So the 14th of September at the same time in the same place, and hope to see you all here again. Thank you, everybody, for your cooperation and for your hard work for the 9/11 Truth Movement, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Good evening, everyone.
Nice job.
Thank you.